Welcome to Daf Yomi Yerushalmi. We're holding in Shvi, Daf Pei Vov in the Oiz V'Hodor edition, Perek Asiri, in the middle of Halacha Gimel. We're starting in the second line in Daf Pei Vov. The Gemara says, "En koizvim pruzvul ela lakarka." So as we learned in the Mishnah, pruzvul, in order to have this document, this agreement, that the lender is able to extract the loan even after Shemitah, you must have a karka. And the pruzvul works only if the borrower has a karka, if the one who's borrowing the money has a land. We mentioned earlier that Rashi in Maseches Gittin explains that the reason you need to have a karka because most loans, the majority of loans, there is a karka to the loive, the borrower has a land. So therefore the takana, what Chazal came and established, a pruzvul, is only if he has a land. Reb Chaim over here brought other mefarshim that explain that the reason why you need to have a land is because the land is considered to be govui. It's considered to be as if it was extracted already. There's no need to go and be noigis, come and take out money, because the money's already here. You have a land. The land is not movable. So it's considered to be more in hand of the lender than money, and therefore the pruzvul works in that case. Says the Gemara, Rav Omar, v'hu she'karka lamalve ve'laloive. The land, not only the borrower needs to have a land, but also the lender needs to have a land. What is the reason for that? Because if the borrower does not have a land, the lender will give him his land. As we learned earlier, the lender will be makanis something to the loive, and the loive will use that for the loan. Now, even in this case, the borrower does have a land, then he may sell it or lose it. So therefore, I want to make sure that there is a land to use. So I want to, ideally, want both of them to have a land. If the lender has, so the borrower doesn't need to have. If the borrower has, so the lender doesn't need to have. As long as there's some land over here to be used, so then you write a pruzvul. Continues the Gemara. But if the borrower does not have a land, but someone that owes him money has a land, you write a pruzvul. This we saw earlier. The Gemara mentioned. The Gemara was very specific with the case of the borrower of the borrower. Meaning, if Reuven borrowed money from Shimon, and Levi borrowed money from Reuven, so then the land that Levi is holding is good enough for the pruzvul. Rabbah b'shem Rav, mishe'en le lekelech echad b'toich sadehu, koisim le pruzvul. You don't have to have a big piece of land. All you need to have is one kelech, one stock. If you have one stock, if the borrower has one stock, that's good enough to write a pruzvul. Says the Gemara, is that true? That Tani, we learned in the Braiso, has shutfim, if you have partners, there are partners in the land, the arisin, or a sharecropper, who is a certain type of partnership in the land, the apitropin. The apitropin over here seems to be not in place, because apitropin do not have a problem with pruzvul, as we mentioned the Mishnah, we're going to see soon in the Gemara. So the Rash Siri Lor really takes away this word, apitropin. So partners, the sharecropper, and land pruzvul, there's no pruzvul, because they don't really own a land. So the Gemara asks, why don't they own a land? If one kelech is enough, one stock is enough, you have your partner who owns 50% of a full field, why is that not good enough? Says the Gemara, Amin tamon kol kelech v'kelech shel shutfus. When you have a partner, so every piece of the land is 50-50. He doesn't own anything on his own. Every stock in the land belongs to both of them. But here, at least, there's one thing which is completely his. Pruzvul is written if the borrower has a land that he owns. It can be a very small land, a very small piece. But it needs to be completely his. Now, in our Mishnah, we had two examples when a person does not have a karka, but he can use someone else's karka. So the Mishnah says that koisim le'odom al nichse ishtoi, meaning if the borrower's wife has a land, that's good enough because the husband is using the land of his wife. And the Yisoyimim orphans, even if they don't have a land, but if the apotropos, the guardian, has a land, so then that's good enough because the Yisoyimim are benefiting the land of the apotropos. Now the Gemara's going to ask the opposite case. Says the Gemara, can the guardian, if he's a borrower, can he benefit if the Yisoyimim, the orphans, have a land? Because he's taking care of the land of the Yisoyimim, is that good enough for him to use in order for the lender to write a pruzvul? Let's learn for the other part of the Mishnah. Why can a husband use his wife's land for the prusvul, even though it's not his land? Because at the end of the day, he as a husband is taking care of the wife's nechassim. So also here, the apotropasim is taking care of the yesoimim of the orphan's lands. Can a isha write on the nechassim of her husband? Meaning if the isha is the borrower, and the lender wants to write a prusvul, but the isha does not own any land, but her husband has a land. Is that good enough because she's benefiting from the land of the husband? Nishpeinim nadol. Let's refer to the other case of the Mishnah. V'chen le'yisoyim mil nichse apotropin. Yisoyim, you write a prusvul if the apotropin, if the guardians have a land. What does the yisoyim do with the guardian's land? They're benefiting from it because the guardian is taking care of the yisoyim. So if the guardian has a land, the yisoyim have some benefit for it. Also, a wife has a benefit from the land of her husband. Therefore, you write a prusvul in that case. Continues the Gemara, quotes the Mishnah Kaveris, the volume we learned about the beehive. They have a machlekes of the beehive is considered to be part of the land or not. Says the Gemara, Ravo b'shem of Shimon Lokish, time in the Rav Elazar, the reason Rav Elazar they holds that a beehive is part of the land, because it says in the Pasuk, V'yavoy ha'om el hayar v'yinei halach dvash. The nation came to the forest and the honey spread out. So the Gemara wants to learn from the fact that it says that the honey spread out from the forest. You see that a honey coming out of a beehive connects to a forest which is connected to the ground. Says the Gemara, Mat Shalom, you know, how do you learn from here? And the Gemara explains the problem. Omar Amana Chursho Mafik Dvash. You say the forest is taking out honey. It doesn't say forest taking out honey. It just says that they saw honey which is spread on the forest. Doesn't mean that the honey has anything to do with the forest. So the Vayilu Amai, if you would be medayek from a different part of the pasuk, because it says in the pasuk Vayidbol Oiso Biyarus Hadvash, it says that he dipped it into the forest of honey. Oh, now I'm calling honey a forest. Forest is trees which are connected to the ground. That means you're associating honey with the ground. Then Yois, that's a good raya. But the first part of the pasuk we mentioned before, that's not a good raya. Says the one you're right. Abiyosi Barabon Mishum Shirim Elokish Omar. Shamo Yaso Ken, you really learn from this part of the Pasuk, Fayid Boloiso Biyaris Advash, that it says that we consider honey to be considered like a forest, meaning it's connected to the ground, meaning the beehive is considered to be karka, is a land. Says the Gemara, Manan Kaimin, what's exactly the case that we talk about regarding Prusbul, if the beehive is considered to be a land or not? Imim Chuberis Lakaka, if the beehive is attached to the ground, Kola Amamoid, everybody agrees, Shikikarka. Of course, it's a land like anything else that's connected to the ground. We're not Pivol on the base. Imbinisun al Gabesh de Seder, if it's on top of poles, Kola Amamoid, Shikikarka. Of course, it's not Karka because it's not connected to the ground, has nothing to do with the ground. Elakinan Kaimina Bimunachas al Gabe Karka. We're talking about the beehive is sitting on the ground. It's not attached to the ground, but it's sitting on the ground. And the question is, if that area where it's sitting on, is that considered to be karka? Is that considered to be land for a prusbul? This goes as Rabbi Zahir said in the name of Yirmiyahu. You write a prusbul on the place, on the land, where a oven, or kiro is a different type of oven, where they're sitting on, even though they're not attached to the ground. That goes like Rabbi Eliezer in our Mishnah. Whatever's sitting on the ground is considered to be a land. Rabbi Chiya ba'ado omar afal mekoyimo shalner. Also, a location where you put a candle. If the candle is put on the ground, so then that area, even though it's very small and the narrow is very movable, it's considered to be enough of a karka for prusvul. Says the Gemara, if we're saying that a beehive is a machlekes, if it's considered to be a part of the ground or not, and if you take out honey from the beehive, we said in the Mishnah, is machlekes, is that considered to be Koitzer on Shabbos or not? It's not considered to be detaching on Shabbos, or it's not considered to be detaching on Shabbos. That's what he said about the honey. So now the Gemara says, what about bread? The same way we're speaking about the beehive, and you're saying it's sitting on the ground, it's considered to be part of the ground according to Rabbi Elazar. So if I have an oven that was sitting on the ground, it's considered to be part of the ground. So if you take out a bread out of the oven, it should be considered to be as if you're detaching from the ground. The same way when you take out honey from the beehive. So that's the Gemara saying, after pass, even in a bread, kan machlekes, a blazer chachomim will be the same machlekes? So the Gemara, no. Dvash gidulei kaveris. Pass eino gidulei tanner. Honey grows in the beehive, meaning that's where it's created. So if the beehive is considered to be connected, so then the honey coming out of it is considered to be like you're detaching something from the ground. But a bread is not created in the oven. It's baked in the oven, but it's not being created over there. And therefore, it's not considered to be that you're detaching the bread from the ground. The Gemara continues quoting the Mishnah, so the lender, if he doesn't have approval and the borrower gives him back money, he has to tell him, I am a shamit. At least say the words, I'm a shamit. Says the Gemara, Avuna Omar besofa rofa vayamin pshuta lekabel. He says in a low voice, I'm a shamit, and he stretches out his right hand saying, I want the money. Meaning, the main idea of Shemitah that this Mishnah is teaching us is to say the words Meshamet Ani, even though you're showing your intention, you really want to get the loan back. But the borrower needs to hear the words from the lender saying, I'm a shamit. And the Mishnah concluded, it said, that a murderer who is killed someone by mistake, by accident, and he goes to the Yer Miklat, he needs to tell them, I'm a murderer. Says the Gemara, this teaches you, her person who learned one mesechta, one mechilto well, he knows one mesechta. He goes to a place, and they're giving him COVID, begin tarte, because they think he learned two mesechtas, two mechiltas. So, I know only one mesechta, only one mechilto. And the Gemara learns this from our Mishnah. The same way a murderer goes to your miklat, and they want to respect him, he has to let them know, I'm a murderer. So he should not be going nevdas abris, stealing their mind literally, meaning by taking advantage of them, of the fact that they don't know he's a murderer. So here, a person should not accept COVID. If people are mechabed for something he doesn't have, he needs to tell them, I don't have what you think I have. You think I know two mesechtas, I really know only one mesechta. With this, we conclude Yerushalmi Shviz, Daf Pei Vov.